Like I said, mine tonight is the lame man, and we're going to be in John, the 5th chapter, 1 through 15, for just a little bit, and then we'll be moving into some other verses. But I'm going to go ahead and read the 5th chapter of John, 1 through 15. It said, now prior to this, in the 4th chapter, the last verse, Jesus had already healed the nobleman's son, okay? And in that verse said, this was the second sign Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. So we're going in now to the next phase here where he's also going to, you know, Jesus now is trying to get started. He's doing miracles. People seeing this stuff. And this is where now he comes into where the pool is, and this is where the blind man, it says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem a sheep pond, a sheep gate with a pond in Aramaic called Bethesda, which was five roofed porches. In there lied a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him laying there, he knew that this man had already been there a long time. He said to him, do you want to be healed? The sick man answered him. Where am I at here? Oh, the sick man answered him, sir, I do not have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going there, someone steps over me before I can. Jesus said to him, pick up your bed and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, this is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed. But he said to them, a man who healed me, that man said to me, take up your bed and walk. They said to him, who is this man that told you to take up your bed and walk? Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was. Jesus had withdrawn as the crowd grew. Now, of course, you know the crowd's going to grow because they know this man that's been there for 38 years, or I don't know if he's been at that particular place, but knows this man that's been lame for 38 years. And, of course, he's going to draw a crowd. And this is what Jesus wanted to do. Jesus found the... So now, the man who had been healed did not know who Jesus was. Jesus had withdrawn, like I said, into the crowd. After Jesus found him in the temple, he said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse happens to you. Now, why did Jesus say nothing worse would happen to you? On back earlier, God used to cause people to have problems. Okay? And this happens to be one of them guys. This is that person that you know, he tell him, don't sin no more because, you know, it next time it might be worse. Okay, do you understand? Everybody knows that, I'm sure. But, so, first off we go to the fact that, now the first thing when we started this here, it said in the beginning, it said here that Jesus went up to a festival. Now we're not really sure what the festival is. I visualize it being, remember the old country festivals that each little village would have and stuff like that, the towns would have, the fire departments would put them on or something. I visualize this because it doesn't say anything, any different that this was something, you know, it was on a Sunday, it was on a Sabbath day as far as that goes, but it doesn't really say a whole lot about what it was. But like I said, Jesus wanted to go up to it, so he did. And now this pool that we're talking about, this pool is also called the House of Olives. It's also could be called Bethesda or the House of Mercy. And the interesting thing about this is an angel would come down at certain times and stir up the water, and whoever was the first one to get in the water was healed of whatever disease or whatever problem they had. And so Jesus, notice here that Jesus went right to the lame man. You know, why do you think he went right to the lame man? This is going to be a really short class if somebody don't start talking.
Because he'd been there longer, 38 years. If he'd been later that long, Jesus probably knew
Well, it did. It's in this what I read. Jesus already knew that he had a problem. But I just wonder, do you think, and what this is tonight is a bunch of questions, okay? This is a bunch of questions that put this lesson together, okay? Do you think Jesus did it on purpose? Of course he did it on purpose. Of course he did it on purpose. He's doing miracles, okay? He wants to get started. He's got a lot to do. He knows, and he wants people to see that he is the Son of God, and he's not just some somebody that is out there, but he is the Son of God, and he's doing miracles. He's doing miracles for these people. These people that are blind. These people, and we know the story. What he healed, and this man here was no different. But Jesus asked him, he said, so my question, I'm getting ahead of myself. Do you think Jesus did it on purpose? Yes, he did. Of course he did. Okay, is Jesus forcing, now here's a thought. Is Jesus forcing the issue that the religious leaders, okay, were missing the original purpose of the Sabbath? Okay, somebody, whoever has Exodus 20, 8 through 11, read that please. Exodus 20, 8 to 11. I give out a card. I asked Bill if he had a copyright on handing out the little notes with the verses on it, and he didn't, so I'm okay. So, whoever had Exodus 20, 8 through 11, would you please read that? Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill. So, there's what the Sabbath is. We do it the same way. We used to. I remember being young, and you didn't do nothing on Sunday. I remember a woman at St. Joe Road, God bless her, she's passed on now, of course, but she said that she doesn't cook on Sunday because it's a sin. She said, we go out and eat, let somebody else feed us. I never figured out the reasoning, but whatever, you know? But I'll never forget that as long as I live. And she was serious. She really was. But do we do that today? Do we rest on Sundays? Now, Gail and I do. We take a nap. Because that's like our day to just... And it really has nothing to do with the Sabbath, honestly. We just like to take naps on Sunday, you know, after we eat and stuff. But I can remember a time when there was nothing going on. You know, I remember a time that, and even back in the olden times, hearing people talk, you know, they used to get together with families and bring covered dishes to someone's home and sit out on a porch and talk. But look how society has changed. I mean, it's just like, there's times that I even had to work on Sunday. You know, when I first started with a gas company, I had, I was scheduled to work at the pressure station. So therefore, there's times that I missed services on Sunday morning. And had to come on Sunday night because, you know, and I'm sure each one of us have the same situation. But we just don't, society just doesn't look at it like they used to. And it's sad, it really is. But anyway, Jesus asked the man, do you want to be saved? That he'd been, you know, and it might seem like this might be a silly question. You know, and like I read, the lame man explained to him. He explained to him the fact that every time he tried to get into water, somebody always stepped over top of him. He wasn't able to get into the water, and I got to thinking about that. And this is where we're going to kind of take off in a different direction here in just a moment. Do you think it's possible that after 38 years, this man being lame, that he might not be is apt to really force himself to get in that water? We don't know how long he's been at this area, but we do know he's been lame for 38 years. Is it possible that maybe he's just accepted the fact that this is the way he's going to be? And maybe not put enough effort into it to try to get in that water. These are just thoughts. Because we all have things in our lives that are challenging for us. And after a while, we just maybe like accept what it is. And that brings me now to the question that, now I had this lesson this past last Wednesday with the teens, and this got them. And I mean, this is what I'm saying, the guys that put this together did an outstanding job, because the question, what I want to do is for us the rest of the time, is examine ourselves. Do you truly want to be healed from your favorite sin? From your favorite sin. And I mean, you know, Blaze was back there. Y'all know Blaze. Blaze was back there and his mouth flew open. And he said, wow, you know. But do you really want to be saved from your favorite sin? Earlier in the chapter, wasn't he caused to be? Huh? I didn't hear you. Sin caused his condition. Well, it's back earlier in the chapter, back earlier in the book. Right. And that's what I brought up in the very beginning, is the fact, don't do it no more, it's going to be worse. Okay? So it kind of brings us back to this question, do we really want to be saved from our favorite sin?
I think if we continue to live in the worldly way, no, I don't. But if I focus, I have to keep in mind, you know, the future and not just look at the immediate satisfaction, the immediate life. I have to think about what's beyond my life here. And if I stay focused on that, then yeah, I'm gonna stay away from that. But as soon as I take my eyes off of that and I forget about, you know, there's a better place for me to go. There's a better place beyond this earth, you know, this earth we're living, and it'd be hard to give up my favorite sin. If I don't stay focused on that, I would fall back into the trap. I would fall back into
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, you know, even though we are trying, is there a sin out there that we maybe don't realize we're doing?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's where God's grace comes in, because if we're, you know, unaware of it, but this got me when you know, this is what I'm saying, these guys did an outstanding job putting this together, because this is awesome. I mean, do we sometimes overlook that tiny little sin as insignificant? You know, that little sin is insignificant. Oh, God knows who I am. He knows that I mess up. You know. No. You know, God sent His Son to die for us. Exactly. Sin is sin. God sent His Son to die for us. You know, I've said this before. This is the most important test that we'll ever take in our lives. You know, everybody studies in their college to get that A, get that test, you know, get a good grade on that test. This is a test of life. Trying to live our lives as a Christian and trying to pass that test, which is going to lead to everlasting life. But gossip. We've all heard gossip. Whoever has Romans 1:29, please read that. Romans 1:29.
They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips.
Gossips. So that puts them right up there with some of the worst. And how many of us has ever heard somebody gossip about somebody? Oh, come on. There are more than two here, okay? Okay. But I mean, you've heard people, you know, talk about that. What about...
It's all done on the computer anymore. Gossip.
Yeah. Facebook. Yeah. Uh-huh. Don't get me there. Yeah. But okay, what about jealousy? Is jealousy one? Whoever has James 3:16, please read that.
Jealousy
James 3.
For jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile house.
Okay. And then busybody. This is another one. Go ahead. Yeah, I appreciate that. It's true. That's true. And then busybody, 1 Timothy 5:13. Who has that?
Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to.
And we've heard people talk. We've heard people say things. We've heard people gossip. We've seen jealousy. I mean, jealousy can actually turn nasty. You know, it can cause people to do things that they normally wouldn't do. And I mean, it's like, you know, well, we look at the big sins. I mean, I've got three other ones here: fear, gluttonous, being a glutton. We're not supposed to do that to our bodies. I mean, I do it at Thanksgiving, at Christmas, and I think God understands, but. I'm hoping he does anyway, no. But I'm saying, you know, even gluttony and worry. Take the simple little word worry. Worry is something that can cause you, you can worry yourself to death. You know, worrying about every little thing that goes on, put your faith in God and don't worry. You know, don't be afraid of things. Don't be afraid. You know, don't be a gossiper. A busybody. Don't be jealous of what somebody else has. You know, and what we're told here in Romans, the 3rd chapter, is said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That includes every one of us. We have all fallen short. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We right here tonight need to reach out to our family before we can go out and reach out to the public. We've got people that ain't here no more. We've got people that need to be visited. We've got people that needs to call them on the phone and let them know we're thinking about them. Before we can go out in the world and preach the gospel, we've got to have our family back. We've got to have it back, sitting right here where we're at, where we've always used to be. And I talked to an individual Monday, and I'm not going to say no more, but they were hurt. So they moved on. She didn't really elaborate that much, and what she did elaborate, I'm not going to repeat it. But they left. And it's going to happen. Yes, people's going to move on. People's going to get their feelings hurt. People's going to have situations in their life, but it's for us, we got to go after them and ask them why. Just find out what the problem is. What can we do to correct it? We got 200 and some people here on Sunday morning, and 95 or to 100 on Sunday night and Wednesday. Actually, I don't know how many is here tonight. I know that's a universal problem throughout all the churches. I talked to a friend of mine, well, you guys know him, from Barnesville Congregation, Jeff Allen. Talked to Jeff Allen about it at the shop one time, and he said, if you got an idea, let us know. You know, it's just a makeup, you know, the way our people's lives are. But there's got to be, you know, sit down, go to their homes and sit down and talk to them. Ask them, what in the world can we do to get you there on Sunday night? You know, but do it in a loving way.
You know, Jeff, when we tend to lay your eyes for Christ in Benton, Virginia, every year at the end of the year, they gave fans, you know, fans, who will you bring to Christ next year? How many people? Many people were baptized with no follow-up.
Yeah.
And it soon fell away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, years ago when Tom Tucker was at St. Joe, we used to go out and have Bible studies with people. We baptized this family and explained to them it doesn't stop here. You know, you become baptized, you know, that you're now on your way, but you have to, you know, there's more steps. They never come back. They said they're saved. You know, and it's like, you know, we went through a study with them for several weeks.
You can't make it up to the preacher,
do
you?
I mean, oh, no. I'm yeah.
Too many people that are well-read in the Bible that could be sent to them to help them learn.
Well, sure. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, no, it's not up to the preacher. It's up to everybody in the building. You know, we all know what the Scripture says. You know, it's all for all of us. And but in Romans 6:14, it says, "Sin shall not rule over me because I am not under the law." Okay, you are under God's gracious love. What does that verse mean? What does that verse mean right there? That's where I'm heading. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's
what I'm yeah. Yeah. Okay. So verse 15 says, what does this mean? Imagine that. Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under God's gracious love? A note I have here, it says that you are not under the law of Moses. Okay. The law of Moses system consists of external laws which reveal the sins commonly occurs or exist of human hearts. God's grace places the believer in Christ and the Holy Spirit in the believer. Therefore, a Christian does not have the sin, therefore a Christian does not have to sin. He or she can have the spirit of believing. Therefore, a Christian does not have to sin. Oh, wait a minute, I had that down twice. Therefore, a Christian does not have to sin. He or she can resist the temptations that is right. Okay, the meaning is not that Christians have to have been freed from the moral authority. They have, however, been freed from the law of Moses, is what it's talking about. So, yes, in the Old Testament we had this, but we today are under Christ's law. And we're under Christ's law, and things are, like I said, things are a little bit more challenging for us now because of the fact that we think about it, we've messed up.
Well, also, the meaning of that, I think, is a very strong thing, because we know that we have the grace, but we can't take that grace for granted. That doesn't mean, well, I'll just do this, and I know God's grace is going to come
right. Yeah,
like
too much work. Yeah.
And yeah. It's just that. It's a lot of people think yeah. When you've got God's grace, you can just act however you want. No, you cannot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to be walking godly no matter what or where you are. Just because you have that grace doesn't mean that you have freedom to go out and commit sin.
I think that's why Jesus asked the lame man, do you want to be healed? Along with being healed, I think he kind of reminded him that, you know, responsibility that comes with being healed. You've been here, and you have had your responsibilities. Once you're healed, you got to walk around. You got to get a job. You got to take care of yourself. There's a lot to go with being healed. Mm-hmm. And we as Christians, you know, if we want to follow Christ, and we want to be healed of our sins, there's responsibilities that go along with that. That's why I think later on he tells me, he says, go and sin no more, or the consequences are going to be a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where he's saying,
yeah. Yeah, that's true. Very true. Yep. Yep. Okay, then we go over to verse 16 now of Romans. And it says, surely you know that you are slaves of whoever you offer yourselves to obey. The one who obeys the one you obey is your master. You could obey sin, which leads to death, or you could obey God. This leads to righteousness. And what Paul here is saying is, Paul is highlighting the principles that everyone is a slave of someone or something, whether it be a person, possession, or an action. And, you know, but a Christian should not, but a Christian should be a slave of Christ, of God, righteousness. And that opens up a lot of things, because here we are, we got, you know, whether it be a person, a possession, which falls under being jealous, you know. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, like I've said it, and I'll keep saying it, being a Christian is a challenge. Okay? We draw strength from each other. Okay? The more we are together, the stronger we're going to be. You know, it's just that simple. We've got to realize what is right and what's wrong. And once we realize that, I mean, we're on our way of doing what's right, because we separate what's good. We know if we don't do right, we're not going to heaven. We know if we cheat somebody or let's just say we're a gossiper. Let's say we gossip. We just read what that talks about. It's wrong. Don't do it. It's wrong. A gluttony. I mean, these are all things that I can put scripture to if you wanted me to. I can put gluttonies it right there in the Bible. You know, we're the temples of our bodies. It's up to us to take care of them. Take care of it. I used to smoke years ago. I ain't smoked in 12 years. You know, but I wasn't doing myself any good at all. You know, and I mean, you know, and the heading we have here tonight is encountering Jesus. And guess what? Everybody here is going to encounter him someday. And it's the point where, you know, what kind of answer are we going to hear from him? Depart, for I never knew you. We don't know. And that's why it's so important to reach out there. I thought I went blind. I thought, what did I do? I need to go into the pool water. Oh my goodness. But I lost my whole train of thought. I really did. But but what I say tonight is not to upset anybody, because, you know, you guys are awesome. You guys accepted Gail and I and the teens. I can't say enough about the teens in the back. And you guys all know the story. When we walked in the church for the first time, it was the Kalsawinskis and Jesse and all Jess and all of them met them back here in the back. And you could see a change in their face right then and there. And they brought them back. You know what I'm talking about. Bro, I'm getting goosebumps. I mean, it was absolutely... I mean, we were losing Becky. She came home from the school and she said, why can't I have, you know... Because there was nobody at St. Joe. There was nobody their age. The Tuckers had moved on. But the teenagers just gathered around them. 28 teenagers gathered around the girls. And I tell you what, that's when Gail and I looked at each other and said, we found our home. It's just awesome. But like I said, I don't say this to be nasty or anything. I say this to you as well as myself. You know, we need to just not talk about it. We need to do it. We need to reach out to our family, and once we get them back, then we need to reach out to the community. But I pray that what I said here tonight is in accordance with God's will, and that's what I have. So I'll have a dismissal prayer. Dear loving Father, we thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity to do this summer series, Father. And we thank you, Father, for all you do for us and all you give us. And we pray, dear Father, what we have said here tonight is in harmony with your will. And we pray, Father, that you'll help each of us reach down deep inside and figure out how we can reach out to our family and reach out to our neighborhood and our town and our cities, Father. We pray, Father, that you will help us in this endeavor and help us to be the Christian that you would want us to be. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all you do for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.